Social impact everywhere.
Welcome back, my fellow social impactors, to again another episode of the Social Impactors podcast. And today we have special guest Kedma Oh, who is a fifth generation entrepreneur dubbed as the small business superhero. She's counseled 10,000 entrepreneurs and businesses and is ferociously addicted to helping people find money for their company. So I first wanted to start off with saying, Kedma, thank you so much for being on the show with me today.
Thank you. It's an honor and I'm excited.
I'm excited too. And I love the I love the beginning part because it's when I get the most energized. And my first question is the favorite. And the question I have for you is just to talk a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why you believe you're a social impactor.
Is that in a minute or less? Because that's
nope. That's as much as you want to talk about.
Wait a minute. I feel like I'm okay. Who I am?
Yes.
What was the other two questions? What I do?
What you do, and why you believe you're a social impactor? It's a loaded question, I know.
Woo. Well, let me work backwards and say why I believe I'm a social impactor is because I think that I have always had the lens not looking just straight, but always looking to the left of me, to the right of me, behind me, and way ahead of me. And to be truly in the social impact community is to understand that you're playing in that space and every decision you make is a domino effect. Sometimes the domino falls, sometimes you're holding the domino. And so I live my life really purposeful in the idea that a small change can be a huge change in the community. And I can go through a lot of scenarios that support that comment at any point in this interview. The second, what I do, is really related to my own life and my brand of being a small business superhero, because I really believe that in order to make social impact, you must become, in one way or another, a social superhero. Oftentimes, we're waiting for someone else to show up and rescue a situation. And the more we can cultivate that we are the ones that are here to help and support and make change, and that we are the ones that can be our own heroes, the more powerful we are in community. And then who I am. Who I am could be depending on who I'm talking to, right? So I'm a mother of three amazing boys. My eldest is autistic. And so I'm a champion in the disability community. I'm a wife. I'm a community impactor. I'm a national speaker. I'm an author of a book called Target Funding. But really who I am, I think, is what I call a light worker. If you imagine that, you know, darkness and light always interchange, I like to be a nightlight. So as we're going through a path, whether it's myself or whether I'm supporting other people through the path, and sometimes their light is dim or they can't see, I like to be a nightlight. Just enough brightness so that they know that they can keep walking on the path that's important for them.
I like that. Yeah. You're the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. The little nightlight. Yeah. Like the kind that you see, you know, with kids and they say, I'm afraid of the dark.
Yeah.
And then we put the nightlight, on.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And so thank you for telling me a little bit about yourself, because that helps, you know, listeners figure that out, but it also shows your strengths and I love what you're doing in you know, that in investment space and how to get people money, because it is so important to really amplify that message that you have. Mm-hmm. And so the second question I have for you is, how are you then making a positive impact in your community?
I love that. That's really powerful. Well, again, going back to the lens, it's impossible to make an impact unless you study the community and where the gaps are. You know, it's not that I can't do a lot of things, because I can, but I want to avoid being a squirrel where every time I see a bird coming, I'm like, oh, let me run over there. So I am very targeted in and purposeful in making changes in the community. What I've done for the last 20 years, my mission statement, my personal mission statement, is to remove barriers for myself and others. I love other people's mission statements that say, you know, cultivate happiness, bring harmony to the world, find love. But because my mission is so intense, I often imagine myself literally in a boxing ring and having to fight through barriers for myself and others. Mm. And those barriers have cultivated into social justice. So if you study my lineage in my business work, my career, you will see that in the form of self-employment and entrepreneurship, I have advocated for very succinct subsections of the entrepreneurship world. I have been an advocate for women in business, minority in business, the LGBTQ community in business, people with disability in business, the veterans in business, and not just an advocate. I have become an expert in helping them find funds and catapult them to the next stage, whatever that next stage looks like, because that to me is removing barriers. If we can eliminate one thing from entrepreneurship and business, is the elimination that funding has to be so significant a barrier that in many cases it prevents someone from going to the next step. Mm. And so for me, I am that champion. And sometimes that requires legislation conversations. Sometimes that requires me influencing and opening doors where they don't have access. And sometimes it's as simple as saying, you need to pick up the phone and call this resource so we can get you through that next step. Mm-hmm. So I think I every day do that to the community, but now with my new book and my work in the national realm for speaking, I've been helping thousands, but I want to go to that next level and help tens of thousands.
That's amazing. And I mean, you said impact over and over and over and over, and I can really tell that the impact you're building is you know, exactly what you should be doing. And it's also a great transition into this question because it's about the business. Mm-hmm. And so do you believe this idea or theme of social impact? Do you believe it's an important part of business?
Well, I can tell you that I would not be here today without social impact.
Really?
We would not be having this conversation today if it was not for social impact. Social impact really, to me, looks at more than the bottom line, mm-hmm. more than the sale, more than what's in it for me. But it's to look at whether or not I'm going to, as a result of my action, potentially influence the lineage of a person or the organization itself. So let me bring you back to my world, if we can just take the lens back and go back to a movie a little bit, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, absolutely, please.
So the reason I do what I do is because I want you to imagine, and if you're listening to this, I want you to place yourself right now in a movie, right? You have two tickets. You're taking you and a partner, or you and a friend, or you and, you know, whoever, a family member. And you get to choose which movie you want to see for today. Mm-hmm. Because I believe we're all playing a movie. Unfortunately, most of us are watching our movie and we're sitting in the audience and we frankly don't like the movie we're watching. We keep waiting for the scenes to change. Mm-hmm. So if we use that as an analogy, I unfortunately woke up to a movie that was very similar to what you would see in a horror film. You have one victim and you have a villain, and often there's no superhero. And more times than not, if you're watching a horror movie, the victims usually don't make it. But I made it, but that was my first. And the reason I made it goes back to social impact. At the age of 18, I entered into a community college, and literally one evening at the college, I received a 911 page from my therapist, who never pages me. And I remember picking up my books and running out of the college. It was brisk cold. And I remember back then we had payphones, so I've just aged myself. And I remember running to the payphone, putting in the coins, and asking her why she paged me. And when a therapist has sort of gone to a level of their own anxiety, you know it's not a good scene. Mm-hmm. And the response back was, you basically my villain. So your abuser is on the way to the college, and if he finds you, he's going to kill you. You have to seek shelter immediately. And I remember hanging up that phone, and then it was a series of immediacy, because as I hung up the phone and I ran to the parking lot to try to look for my vehicle, my villain was already there. And I talk about this on stage because if you want to ever be in a moment of terror, that was the moment, because in the movies, you don't get to pause like you do for movies and say, let's take a second taking on this. And I literally was ducking through cars to try to escape that situation. What happened is overnight I became homeless, and a group of social impact influencers literally came to my rescue, found me my first safe haven, which was a basement apartment where you went down 15 stairs and it was infested with cockroaches and ants. And I ended up staying there for 5 years in hiding. My second social influencers were actually the college themselves, who through a series of committee actually gave me my first chance to go back to school and give me a chance to start a life, because I had nothing at that point, no home, no family, and no identity. And at that moment, I have to be honest, when the college came back, I made a commitment for the rest of my life to do social impact and be a social influencer for every single person I interact with. So when you ask me that question of how important it is, I can tell you right now, had those two things not happened, I would not be here today talking, and I would not be here today living. And so it is embedded in everything I am. So it is more than just a conversation. It's how I live my life.
Wow. Two things I want to say is a follow up is one, thank you for your vulnerability. I know you talk about this on stage you say quite often, but it is still a very vulnerable state.
Yes, it is.
So thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that. And two, you really have highlighted what the importance of social impact is, right? What you had said that social impact, you wouldn't be here today. I'm sure that's the same with a lot of other people. And it also shows just how important social impact is to build in the world. Like we need social impact as human beings.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. Yeah. And what that college did for me is change the lineage for my family and give me a new identity, because they believed in me when nobody else did.
Yeah.
And so it's very powerful for me. And it, to your point, no matter how many times I tell the story, it's still very, very vulnerable, because I'm giving you insight into my soul.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can tell that's your soul speaking, and that's when the most opportunity to learn and to educate people comes, right? In these vulnerable states. So again, thank you so much. I'm still processing in the background, so I'm gonna keep going on. And the next question I have for you, and it's actually the final question, but it's more about building community, but it's about your advice. And so the question is, what is your advice for other people, listeners today, to begin building their own impact?
I love that. First thing I'm going to say is, don't listen to your brain, because I always often say this with my wonderful MBAers and PhD. Sometimes we get to a point where we receive so much input, or we're listening to Mr. and Mrs. Google. I don't know if you've actually gotten counsel from them.
Yeah.
But Mr. and Mrs. Google feed us all this information, and then we think we know everything. And what I like to say to people, and I say to myself, surround yourself with hyper-focused experts who are going to constantly put your ego in check, because I live through spirituality and service, and also validate that you're going the right way. It doesn't mean you have to agree on everything, but if I had to leave with one advice, whatever you're going through, whether it's personal struggle, whether it's business struggle, whether you want to advance your place and if there's no struggle, but you want to be the best version of you, make sure you're surrounding yourself with no less than 5 hyper-focused experts who can give you sound advice because they've been there. I will never, ever give anyone that is listening to this podcast advice on cooking because I am the worst cook in the entire universe.
Oh, I am too. I burn water.
I mean, and I'll just tell you, my first cake, I broiled it. Yeah. Nobody told me to bake it. I'm like, okay, I did not know that. But, but if it comes to targeting funding, if it comes to counseling people to go from one stage of their business to a second, I am in that zone because I've worked with over 10,000 businesses. So I feel good about that. Mm-hmm. So that's the one thing I would tell your audience. In the next 90 to 180 days, if you are looking at your team right now and you don't have 5 people on that team that are solid in where you want to go, that's your job to figure that out and get that support because it's going to take you to a whole new level that you don't even see can be possible now.
I like that. And I think that's a beautiful way to end our session together because yeah, you have to surround yourself with like-minded people. You just, yes. You have to. And this is such influential advice and pulling from my own experience. I think of those people sometimes as mentors, right? And I have had incredible mentors in my life that really have changed the trajectory of everything, right? And, mm-hmm. and those are the people that I like to surround myself with. So I just wanted to end the podcast today, Kedmet, with saying, thank you so much for A, being vulnerable, but B, giving such sound advice from your experience. And really just being one of the best guests I've had on the show.
Wow.
So thank you so much, honestly, for taking time to be with me today.
Thank you.
Yeah.